Welcome to today's edition of the Rush 24/7 podcast.
What an absolute honor to fill in for Rush Limbaugh and to chat with you. It is, in fact, Open Line Friday, 800-282-2882. Ditto heads across the world, you're welcome to call in. One suggestion that we talked about yesterday was predictions that Rush got right. I know that's a very long list in 30 years of being spot on. But predictions in the past year that Rush Limbaugh called out, 800-282-2882. Of course, the rules are you get to talk about whatever's on your mind is Open Line Friday. But the biggest news of all for all of us, every single one of us. What did I say? Did I say Open Line Friday? I said Open Line Friday. I want it to be Open Line Friday. Today is Tuesday. It feels like Friday to me because I'm filling in for Rush. Okay, so it is not Open Line Friday. It's Open Line Tuesday. Oh, thank you, Friday. Okay, so the big news for me is that you are winning. We are winning. All of us together are winning. The Gallup poll shows this to be the case. The president of the United States is tied for most admired man with Barack Obama. Now, there's a history of this, that presidents, current presidents, are often the most admired men. But examine something. The amount of effort the media has put in to destroying the reputation of Donald Trump, it hasn't worked. None of it has stuck. We are winning in this battle, and this has to be extraordinarily frustrating for them, which is why they're going into these histrionics. Yes, it splits. Republicans admire Trump. Democrats admire Obama, except fewer Democrats are admiring Barack Obama. And all of this in light of the fact that the media is spending every possible dime and moment of their day in trying to destroy this presidency, but more importantly, in trying to eliminate and delete and erase your choice for president of the United States. So everybody in this audience, you are winning. And you are beating the media at a game where they have all the printing presses, they've got all the digital, they've got TV, but we have Rush, we have EIB Network. We have guest hosts who screw up thinking it's Friday because it feels like Friday. You've got all of this on your side, and you have each other to talk to and to bring about good feelings and to remind each other that we're in this battle. And the battle continues, and they're not giving up. There's a piece in USA Today today that's just – it's from Nikhil Terry Ellis. And this is just so indicative of where the media is at with this president and with this country. And that is that she's claiming – that the that race relations under President Trump are just at this all-time low, but they were at all-time high with Barack Obama. And she also, in this piece, calls out Black Lives Matter as a positive movement, a Black Lives Matter movement that was predicated upon a core lie. And that core lie was hands up, don't shoot. That's not what happened, right? We know that didn't happen. Right, we know that the officer was found not guilty. In fact, was acquitted completely in that case. That was a case that supposedly launched Black Lives Matter that had been planning forever. She thinks that the President Obama's support of that, in support of the lie that there was this open season with rogue white cops going around killing young black men, that core lie was a positive. But in her piece, she delivers a lie. She says a survey released earlier this year by the nonpartisan Pew Research Center revealed that 6 in 10 Americans said race relations in the country were bad, and 56% said Trump had made the race relations worse. Listen to this. She says in 2009, 41% of Americans said race relations had gotten better with Obama's presidency, while 22% said things had gotten worse. She chose the first year of Obama's presidency when people were promised that the ocean tides would recede and we're the ones that we're waiting for and we're seconds away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America forever. It was in that moment of glow. That's the moment she chose. The afterglow when people fell in love with the product that was Barack Obama. She would otherwise have to mention the fact that under Obama, in the last year of his office, 9% of people, 9% felt that the race relations had improved under Barack Obama. 70% thought race relations would improve under his watch. 9% actually thought it happened. So we're winning. The president, Trump, is tied in Gallup for most respected American with Barack Obama, and they continue to fire these shots, and that's an ending. Like, the press cannot give up on this. So they're going to go now and do offer redemption. Redemption that would never come to a Republican. The Washington Post, this comes by way of our friends at Legal Insurrection, The Washington Post has now offered redemption to Governor Blackface in the state of Virginia. They talk about Governor Northam, a Democrat, persuaded many Virginians to allow him a season of penitence. Not least among them are African Americans who were stunned when the governor first admitted, then denied, appearing in the photo in which one figure is in blackface, another in a Ku Klux Klan costume. So they're offering him penance and redemption. I don't know if this is magical, because I was told you can't be redeemed from the original sin or the new original sin of whiteness, but Northam here is redeemed. It's remarkable that he gets this redemption and they're not giving up. And yet, President Trump is tied with Barack Obama for most respected man. And they continue to hammer away. Chuck Todd, speaking of redemption, Chuck Todd went on a screed based on a year-old letter. A letter to the editor trying to explain support for President Trump. Chuck Todd went on this rant and said, why do people support Trump? He's quoting this letter. It's because people have been trained from childhood to believe in fairy tales. Of course, he's speaking of the Bible. He's speaking of Bible-believing Americans. And this letter, this original letter, is just a rant against people who believe in the Christian Bible, in the construct of the Bible, and maybe strict belief, maybe casual belief, but all of it lumped together. To say that you were raised on fairy tales, therefore you support President Trump. And this is Chuck Todd deciding now a year later to surface this letter. So he now wants to build a divide between MSNBC and NBC and Christian Americans. And this is smart. Do you see the win you are causing? Do you see the steps you're taking and forcing the media to take in things like this, with him picking a fight with everybody who even has respect for the Bible? Chuck Todd is picking a fight with this notion. Now, speaking of redemption, compare Chuck Todd and his statements that it is irredeemably a fact that you vote for Trump because you are brought up on myths. But think of this. As someone who reads and believes the Bible, have you found, aside from Christ, the perfect person in the Bible, have you found the vessel that Christ chose, or that God shows in the Old Testament? Who was the perfect vessel, the perfect human being? Was David perfect? He wasn't. He gave in to all sorts of desires to be relevant to the world around him. Right? And I'm not qualified to preach. I'm no one's professor. I'm a broken cat myself. But I can point to the Bible and very, very easily point out that the 12 disciples themselves were flawed human beings. So Chuck Todd does what is so endemic of people in the media, in the left, in New York, in these corridors, is that Chuck Todd pretends to understand Bible-believing people and pretends to be able to explain your affection for President Trump by way of myth, when in fact there's a huge difference. The huge difference is you and me, we are not searching for a messianic figure in a president of the United States. We are not searching for a religious leader in the president of the United States. We do not expect politicians to be perfect people. What we want is an antidote, an alternative to something that will be catastrophic for our country, which is totalitarian leftism. And it is all around us. We're going to talk later in the show, and Team EIB in New York has been telling me, we want to hear this story about what's going on in the West Coast, where they're tracking every mile you drive, putting GPS units in your car. You're going to have to fight for your freedom of mobility. That's leftist totalitarianism. Being forced to purchase needles, and in fact, being forced to purchase heroin for heroin addicts. That's leftist totalitarianism, starting in the West Coast, coming east. It's going to hit you guys. That's what we are voting for Trump for. That's why we support him, is to be the bulwark against that movement. We understand these things, and because the president has proven himself to be someone who keeps and tries to keep the promises he made to us. Now, who understands this better than Chuck Todd? A sophomore in college understands this better than Chuck Todd. The Clemson Tigers, going back to the national championship game, and their quarterback is a big part of this, Trevor Lawrence. So he is a very humble young man. He's a quarterback who described the game. He said, we didn't play great, didn't look pretty, but they found a way to win. Now, that's a very cliched sports quote. We didn't play great, we didn't look pretty, but listen to what this young man, a sophomore in college, understands that Chuck Todd doesn't. He says, I wouldn't want to do this with anyone else. I have Ephesians 3:20, and it says God can do immeasurably more than any of us because of him within us. And that's just so true. I mean, all of us, me, what we did tonight, it ain't just us. It's about a program and who we are. That young man is describing a team filled with imperfect vessels, though not pretty, though not maybe playing the game that they knew they could play, maybe not performing up to their standards. They still won, and he understands greater as a whole, and he understands imperfect vessels. All of us together, all of us are imperfect vessels, but we're winning even in the face of a massive onslaught by the entire media establishment. And let me thank you for that, because along with Rush, you deserve the thanks. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. All right, so we've decided it's open line last day of the year. I inadvertently said open line Friday. It's not 800-282-2882, so it's open line last day of the year. The media continues this assault, and one of the assaults are continuing is on social media, but there is a crack appearing in this. PewDiePie is one of the biggest YouTubers in the world, and one of them, and I don't know him, but I think he's one of the most misunderstood characters in media. My daughter introduced me to his work. He's a guy who does a lot of things. He plays video games, makes fun of them. He has sort of a foul mouth from time to time. He's very edgy. But he also puts out reading lists for young people of classic works and classic books and discusses them with these kids and says things like, hey, take some time off from the games and read these books. He's also full on aware of the onslaught of, and we'll talk later in the show about this, repressive tolerance. Have you heard that phrase? Repressive tolerance is something a guy named Herbert Marcuse taught as a leftist organizer. We're only going to be tolerant of things that will tear America apart. And PewDiePie is well aware of these tactics. He is calling out YouTube as maybe being a platform that's no longer number one because they are doing something that opens them up to being taken down. They operate under the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, which allows them to say, oh, we're just a platform. We're not responsible for editing things, and we can't be called out for unfair treatment, and we're not responsible. And yet they're a publisher. So the same rules that apply to RushLimbaugh.com, because that's obviously a published website and a curated website, should apply to YouTube. Now, I'm not a fan. I don't want the government coming in and regulating everything, but I want fairness. And YouTube and Facebook and Twitter, we know that they're throttling conservatives. We know that they're shadow banning us. And I could talk about this in some detail, having spent all this time in digital. But this opens up a door for us to say to them, you can't be a publisher and a platform. You need to choose one, because if they're a publisher, that provides us the opportunity to begin to treat them differently in terms of the advertising they take, in terms of the fairness of how they take that advertising, etc. It opens up doorways for us to encourage some fairness from these platforms, and that has to be done. It absolutely has to be done, because they're in fact creating in-kind campaign donations to the Democrats. I'll give you an example. Go try to find the go to YouTube and see how long it takes you to find the very, very famous video of Barack Obama saying, oh, look, you know, I tell them they bring a knife. We bring a gun. Go try to find that in YouTube and let us know at 800-282-2882 if you can find that. I've tried this experiment before, and I've gone days and not been able to find it because YouTube, in my judgment, has buried this for Barack Obama. Let's go to Kim in Fresno, California. Kim, you're on the Rush Limbaugh program. Todd Herman filling in. Hi, Kim.
Hi, that's exactly the reason that I was calling. I've been trying to call for 2 weeks. Google and everybody else is the huge misinformation. It's what's wrong with everything. We spend our entire time debunking what they're saying. I wanted to put Trump videos out there, Trump videos of his rallies, because they're so exciting and to show how much support he has. Well, I Google it, you know, Trump rallies, and it comes up. Protesters at the rally, you know, all negative, nothing good. So if an average person Googles Trump rallies, they're going to see nothing but junk.
Right. And
it so, just doesn't come up. I can't even make a compilation video, and I live in America.
And so they'll claim they're a platform, Kim. Oh, well, this is just the algorithm. It's just a platform. Except we've seen insiders talk about in my recollection that no, there are humans who help arrange these so they come up in this order. So you see what they want you to see. I argue that as a publisher, as a platform, they're in fact, by not admitting it's editorial, not admitting they're doing this, they're in the background manipulating this. Not like this show, like this is my point of view. Rush makes his point of view well known. Editorialists make their points of view well known. The Fox News people do, who are editorialists, right? They make their points of view well known. The background arranging of this stuff is, in fact, creating sort of an in-kind campaign donation to the Democrats by hiding the good stuff that happens at Trump rallies. And that's a great example. Kim, I appreciate the call. Thanks very much from Fresno, California. Terry in Guilford, Connecticut, you are on the Rush Limbaugh program. Todd Herman filling in. Hi, Terry.
Hi. Listen, Todd, you just blew me away with your thought process before when you're weaving together the Bible, why Trump supporters support Trump. And it was, I've been trying to figure out in my mind how to write to Peggy Noonan of the Wall Street Journal why we support Trump. And I'm so sad that she keeps writing the way she does against Trump. She's got this beautiful platform. And I'm wondering if you can like put together what you just said and send it to her as a letter and a letter to the editor and dispute or put it in to that paper. We need what you just said out there. It was beautiful.
Wow. I really appreciate you telling me that, Terry. I don't know that Peggy Noonan would listen to me. I'm happy to do that. But what I think would actually be better is if you were to point to Rush's website, because Rush has said this just as well or better than I have, in fact, to point to the segment and say, listen, Peggy Noonan, you should listen to this. And let me just say this about the broken vessel theory. I am so broken that I need my faith to operate. I need my faith to sustain me, and it has done this. And people who do not understand, as we look at our country, Terry, and we look at the alternatives, we look at a law in Virginia where a baby can be, quote, aborted while being born. That's not abortion. That's murder. And that's not even to say abortion is murder. That's literally the baby is now viable. And to hear the governor of Virginia say, well, if the baby somehow was born and we'd make it comfortable, then the mom and the doctor would have a decision. In other words, do you kill the child? These are the alternatives that we see. And this is in history of the Bible is what we find people who were, in fact, not perfect vessels. None of us are looking for this. None of us are looking for a Messiah in Washington, D.C. We're looking for someone who will fight against eventualities like that. And that's what folks don't understand this 2020 election is about. But the great news is, Terry, we're winning. We talked about that Gallup poll. You, Terry, are part of this victory. I want to thank you for the phone call very much. And look, for the folks in the D.C. corridor, as we call the Acela corridor, there's such a misunderstanding of regular people like you and me. There's such a misunderstanding that we somehow are just completely hypnotized by our faith so that we can't see the real world or that we don't understand the flaws of people that we say, look, we're going to vote for. We have a two-party system. We look at Donald Trump and we say, this is a man who's going to fight. We look at a guy who says, this is his record. He's fought. He's kept promises. He's done things that other politicians said couldn't be done. And he's still not a perfect man because there aren't any left. There was only one. This is Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. Oh, thanks for putting up with me today. I appreciate it very much. I hope you've made your way to rushlimbaugh.com. And if you haven't yet, do this. Go get the Limbaugh letter. Rush interviews a presidential historian named Doug Weed. And his book is absolutely skyrocketing up the charts. It's called Inside Trump's White House, The Real Story of His Presidency. And Weed, like the Limbaugh letter, he uses facts. So one thing that you're going to want to do is when you buy the Limbaugh letter, leave this one out. But put a red sticker on the top that's a trigger warning saying contains facts. And with the 2020 elections coming around, it's really important that you subscribe to the Limbaugh letter now. Get both digital and print because it is an amazing experience to put the print edition with you wherever you go. Read it in airports and on airplanes. It's a lot of fun. Go to rushlimbaugh.com. There is a dynamic within the left and the right that I compared really thinking about how the leadership. And in this case, I speak of in the right, I speak of the establishment, sort of tepid Trump to anti-Trump, never Trump sort of establishment in Washington, D.C. And the leadership of the left, which is not, in fact, Hillary Clinton. She might be part of it, but it's actually the hardcore leftists and corporatists. And when I say that, I mean companies who understand that socialism and totalitarianism are great ways to force you to buy products. So they cozy up to Democrats. That's what Obamacare was, forcing you to buy a product you don't want from companies you don't like, prices you can't afford for services you cannot ever use. That's what it was. So when I describe that, I describe the leadership of the left. Now, think about this. This takes a second. The leaders of the left are very long-term in their thoughts. So they play a long game. Like, for instance, for years, they have been pushing this tactic that's called repressive tolerance. And this came about in the 50s by a guy named Herbert Marcuse, leftist organizer who, in an ironic sense, we saved from Nazi Germany. He came over here, was very upset that we had a whole bunch of flavors of ice cream. He said, well, it's way too much. So it's kind of like Bernie Sanders. No one needs this many choices of deodorant. So he was sort of a forefather of this. He said the way to take America down is with repressive tolerance. That is to be tolerant only of the ideas that tear America down. Think of the left and how they are operating within their structure. They're employing this by just only having tolerance for things that tear the country apart. Right? They don't have actual tolerance for all points of view. And that was Marcuse's point. Don't have tolerance for all points of view. This animates the left as much as Saul Alinsky does. And these guys were, in fact, ideological cousins. But the followers of the left, that is, and I'm not talking about your garden variety Democrats. I'm talking about the true followers of the left. They are, what matters to them is the next 2 seconds. This is what I mean. Does it feel good to say, oh, I accept that form of deviancy or I accept it. I accept you free. Right, it just feels good. Oh, we're going to give free college. It feels so good. I saw a kid and I gave him some free college. And then you feel so good. Well, you gave him free college? Yeah, because he needed it. He needed the college. I gave it to him for free. And he feels so good. That's where virtue signaling comes from. Those two sides combined, long thinking on the leadership of the left, and then this very short time span of, I just want to feel good. I just want to put out a tweet that says, Greta Thunberg's my hero. Greta Thunberg's a great example of this. Right? This is a young woman, her father said that her activism is helping to cure her depression. And look, depression, it's a killer. In adolescent mental health, it's a serious issue. And in one sense, you could say, well, at least Greta Thunberg is in fact, curing her depression. But it's temporary because she'll grow up and realize that there is no climate catastrophe. But the left in that long form of thought brings about these emotions and plays on those. The right, on the other hand, the institutional right, is very, very short-term in their thinking. How do we win the next election? How do we keep tax rates just a little bit lower? And it's you, the base, who thinks long-term. And by way of that, I give you this example. The polling now post-impeachment for the president of the United States, his approval ratings are up. And more people, a greater percentage of people, in fact, believe that the Democrats are playing dirty tricks in impeachment. So support for impeachment has dropped to 46%, down 6 percentage points since the start of that inquiry. Meanwhile, the president's approval rating is up. 51% of Americans oppose impeaching and removing Trump, a 5% increase. Okay? The followers of conservatism take a longer view than the establishment Republicans. That is, you are taking a longer view of your country than the establishment Republicans do. So, again, I emphasize to you on this last day of 2019, you are winning. You are winning. Jay in Suwanee, Georgia. You're on the Rush Limbaugh program. Todd Herman filling in. Good to hear from you, Jay. Good morning.
Good morning. I want to talk a little bit about this long-term solution you're talking about and repressive tolerance and the idea that education plays a key role in both of these. I mean, how does the left put forth its repressive tolerance throughout the culture? They do it in a huge way through K-12 education. And I know that, you know, Rush has been right on many things, and education is one of them, and that's why he supports Hillsdale College, for instance. It's not left. But at the end of the day, we want to keep on winning, as you've been saying. And in order to keep on winning, we got to stop training our young people in leftist ideology, and that's happening through your standard K through 12 public education. Jesus said in Luke 6:40, when a student is fully trained, he will be like his teacher. And so when we have the education system controlled by the left, if we continue to send our kids there, we're going to get leftist thinking kids as they grow out. And, you know, the ability is there to change that with homeschooling and private education. And my opinion is that Trump, I'm a Trump supporter, but Trump needs to address the education issue in order to keep on winning and to keep this thing going.
So, Jay, I have a question for you, because what you said is exactly spot on. This is going to sound a little bit weird, okay, but I'm going to ask you a question because I'm very curious about cultural differences. In Suwanee, Georgia, how often do the public libraries have drag queens come and do sexual dances for children while the adults are asked to leave the room?
They don't do that here. I asked about that very question.
Yeah.
But they do other places, and it's coming. That's the problem. You know, we think that kind of thing is always, you know, out in California or, you know, perhaps in the upstate New York, or not upstate, but in New York City. But it's coming. And unless we change something, it's going to be here before too long.
So I'm going to jump off of what you're saying here, Jay, and I want people to know what's coming. I appreciate the call. I got to get to Suwanee, Georgia. Georgia is a beautiful place. Thank you for the calling Rush Limbaugh show. Look, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on Seattle stuff. I live in the heart of leftist mania. But look, San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, Los Angeles, they're just a symptom of the first people to get this thing handed to them. That someone at the National Association of Libraries, someone at that lead group said, you know what's important is we need to have drag queens go dance for kids in these sexual dances. And why? Why is this important? This is not teaching tolerance for people who suffer from gender dysphoria. This is not teaching love for people who suffer such a condition. This is not teaching that. This is not teaching that, hey, you know, some people are gay and teaching acceptance of people for who they are. That's not what it is. This is something quite different because these dances are purely sexual. And in the West Coast, there's a group out here who literally, and I'm going to apologize for the language, but they literally handed out literature to kids, young kids, that was on a it was shaped as the male private part in a state of attention. I'll put it that way. And went to their, it had a call out to their web address. You know what they do? They produce pornography festivals. That's what else they do. So repressive tolerance, as Jay from Georgia was saying, is in fact being employed in the schools that were tolerant for these things, such as these overt acts of sexuality within the libraries, but were not tolerant for maybe a kid who decides that he wants to spend his lunch hour maybe praying or maybe talking to his friends about the Bible or maybe wearing a Trump hat, because that'll get you smacked right upside the noggin in some West Coast cities, probably in East Coast cities too. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. Just one thing to jump off of what Jay from Suwanee, Georgia was talking about, which is the schools programming the kids. The government schools, there's some decent ones. There's some really good ones. The majority of them, particularly on the coasts, are in fact programming kids. And one thing I would give as a suggestion to parents is practice your Socratic inquiry, right? You know the right thing. You know the right answers to these things. I always think of this example. When my daughter and I were in the Smithsonian Institute when we lived in Washington, D.C., they were doing one of the many Darwin Day things celebrating him. And I happen to think Darwin was a smart guy, that animals adapt. I do not believe we all came from one animal. I think that's ridiculous. I happen to think the whole idea of random mutation is a joke. I think if you look at DNA, the structure of it, that it's readable, it's repeatable, it's writable, it's information. There's no known instance of any readable, repeatable language coming about at random. It's never happened. And DNA is a language. And there's got to be an intelligence behind that is why how I view this. We were at the Smithsonian together. And a woman, a biologist probably, was teaching about bees. And specifically about honeybees and how they worked. And so I stopped and I asked a question. I said, so she was taking questions. I raised my hand. And she said, yes. I said, you know, what I've always found fascinating about the bee, if I'm not mistaken, they're able to fly backwards. Is that correct? And she said, yeah, bees can fly backwards many directions. And I said, oh, God, that's just so cool that they can do that. When did they evolve that ability? And she said, oh, no, bees have always had that ability from the moment bees came about. They've always been able to do that. And then she looked at me and she realized what she said. I mean, it evolved at one point. And I said, I see. And she said, I see what you're trying to do. I'm asking questions. Get good at this on PTA nights. Get good at that in front of your kids as you talk to the teachers. Because some of the teachers, they're just keeping their heads down. My mom was a teacher. My wife is a teacher. They're just keeping their heads down. I've worked in the government schools. So some of them will know what you're doing and they're going to, you know, help you along. Others, in this Socratic inquiry, your kids watch you befuddle someone who is telling them lies. Absolutely befuddle them. Your kids are going to get this example of, wow, my parents do know a lot more than my teacher on these topics. We talked earlier about the fact that YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, they are trying to say we're platforms. Therefore, you know, we're not responsible for content that goes up, except we're going to edit the content. We're a platform. Therefore, we're not really gaming things against Republicans. We're just a platform when, in fact, we know there's humans behind the scenes gaming things. They could come out and say we're publishers, at which point that's fine. Now you're just publishing editorials. You have an editorial point of view. That's your right. But they're saying they're platforms, which to me means, okay, then why is it that you are shadow banning and sinking conservatives and hiding things like I've yet to have anyone find the Barack Obama, they bring a knife, we bring a gun video, because it's very hard to find on YouTube. That's YouTube, in my opinion, sinking that video. So we talked about that earlier. Bobby from Warrington, Virginia, let's talk about something related to this. Bobby, welcome to the Rush Limbaugh Show. It's Todd Herman filling in.
Hey, Todd. Happy New Year. So in Northern Virginia, I'm not sure if this varies from region to region, on the iPhone XS with the latest software update, which is 13.1 something, if I go to type a text message right now, or any of the listeners are listening, if you type in I'm anti and you hit space, the iPhone will auto-populate words that it thinks should come after anti. And I just took a picture of it. The three words that auto-populate after I type I'm anti and hit space, the first one was Trump, the second word was gun, and the third word was right. But hey, there's no manipulation there, right?
Yeah, but Bobby, I got to ask, you're doing this from Virginia, right?
Yes, Northern Virginia, yes, sir.
So I wonder if it's...
So I encourage any of your listeners who have an iPhone to try this. I don't know if it varies from region to region, but here in Northern Virginia, if you type I'm anti and hit space, three auto-populated words are Trump, gun, and right.
All right, let's have folks try that in the audience and let us know, particularly from conservative regions. Bobby, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. We talked earlier about the Frankfurt School and Herbert Marcuse and leftists and playing the long game and teaching repressive tolerance. Only have tolerance for things that tear the country apart. Warren from Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome to the Rush Limbaugh Show. Warren's Todd Herman filling in. We got about a minute and 20 seconds, so be brilliant.
I believe really I tried to. Hey, good afternoon, Tom. Yeah, I've been following the Frankfurt School and its effect on culture for a while now, and you can see they've had a long play at this as well. They started out by taking over academia. They moved to pop culture, taking over Hollywood, taking over even TV production. They've moved into they've successfully moved into other areas like the court system and media, and you can see how it's slowly wearing away at the Western values. Because their long-term goal is authoritarianism. And our response to that should also be long-term, and it should be going after those exact same established sectors of society. We need to make sure there's more conservatives on the courts. We need to make sure our voice is being heard in pop culture and in media. And, I mean, I think we just need to mirror what they're doing. We can learn a lot from what they've done, the damage they've done.
Absolutely right. And it is damage. Warren, I thank you for the call. You were brilliant, as a matter of fact. And you remind me of something else. We're winning. The president has changed the courts forever. He has more to do. When he wins in 2020, he's going to do more of the courts. And in fact, Mitch McConnell deserves a great amount of appreciation. And I've been really critical sometimes of Mitch. It's not just the Gallup poll. It's not just that. You are helping this win to change these courts. And yes, we need to get into academia, etc. as well. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh, the EIB Network. Just a little bit of a year in review on this last day of 2019, and we're taking calls 800-282-2882. Love to hear people talk about the predictions that Rush got right. I know that's a long list, but taking a look back, do you remember the panic that ensued when the media began to discover that the Earth's magnetic field was acting erratically? Like, the Earth's magnetic field has flipped in our history. We know this. And yeah, it won't be fun when it happens. Of course, this became a big point of concern and another catastrophe for us to worry about because, of course, we can't figure out ways to, ensure that we're okay through this, even though somehow back then people did that. Okay, so we've got more electronic devices, etc. What's fascinating to look at this, to look back in this year, is the degree to which the media is so wedded to everything is about Trump. The examples are vast, but this one is hilarious. The Earth's magnetic field may reverse. It's a years-long, hundreds of years-long process. It's happened throughout the history of the globe. And what does the American media focus on? A report in Fortune magazine. The North Magnetic Pole's rapid and inexorable shift requires the release of a new model of the Earth's magnetic field for military and civilian navigation around the Arctic. The partial government shutdown. That's it. Todd Herman, in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network.